Hallelujah. Good morning. Sorry, I'm looking for an app and I've opened up the wrong one. I opened up the app that controls my smoker at the house, so I got distracted for a second. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? A little app that tells you where your food's at. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So anyway, does anybody know what next Saturday is? Canton. Yeah, all the ladies said Canton. Any guys in the house happen to know what Saturday is? May the 4th be with you. Star Wars Day is on the way. The second biggest day of the year, only behind New Year's Eve. We skipped right over Christmas, you know. That's a pagan holiday. We don't celebrate that stuff around here. So, in honor of Saturday, considering that we're going to come in Sunday, and it's going to be after May the 4th, after Star Wars Day, we have Star Wars jokes this morning. The first joke was delivered to me a few weeks ago by a young man in our church. He raised his hand. This is a great one. What's this? Yeah, I gotta look it up. Let me find it. Whoa, I lost it. Yeah, I know. You're devastated? Yeah. What? I didn't lose it. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. So, who is Darth Vader's wife? Ella Vader. Yeah. I thought that one was pretty good. I've been holding on to it for a few weeks. I liked it. Yeah. Thank you, Mikey. We appreciate you, man. Yeah. Y'all give it up for Mr. Beckworth back there. Can somebody tell me why Darth Vader was always bad at sports? Because he always choked. Watch the movie. How do you know that R2-D2 loves to curse? How do you know that R2-D2 loves to curse? Because they have bleeps and for his words. I thought it was pretty good. All right, what did Yoda ride as a child? What did Yoda ride as a child? He rode a deucicle, because there is no try. It's a deucicle. All right, and what do you call a Sith who will not fight? Now, for those of you that don't know, Sith are like the bad guys, the Sith lords. You got Jedis, which is good guys, Sith are the bad guys. What do you call a Sith that will not fight? A fiffy. Okay, y'all, great. All right, that's enough. Yeah, I'm going to get kicked out. This is your last service, Greg. So, what's this? No, it's not going to be a Star Wars inspired message, but it will be a Holy Ghost inspired message. How about that? Yeah, themed. So anyway, y'all know where we've been. For those of you that have been here, you kind of know where we've been. We've been talking about what month is this? This is what? Missions month. And what we brought out and what we've been bringing out to this point is that the word missionary, you don't find it in the Bible. You don't find that thing in the Bible. And it's because the expectation was that each and every one of us have been called to the mission field, whether it is in Botswana or if it's at Walmart. You have been called to the mission field. You are a missionary. If you would, Charles, well, no, we're not going to go there yet. You are a missionary and have been given a ministry. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God, through Christ, was reconciling the world to himself. The problem with the world is they think that they're separated from God. The issue that we have to bring to bear and what we have to make sure everyone understands is that they're no longer separated from God, because the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ gives them complete and total access to Him 1,000% all the time. And for those of us that have been called to the ministry of reconciliation, which is everyone that's accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all of us that are called to that have to know that we are also joined with Him right now. No matter where we're at, no matter what we've been doing, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate you from what's been happening. I said it yesterday, or no, what's today? What's today? Sunday. Today's Sunday. Friday, I said it to a young man. I was playing golf, a lot of golf on Friday. And I was talking to a young man and I asked him, I said, man, whenever you take Kool-Aid and water and you put them together, what do they become? They become Kool-Aid. The water and the powdery stuff get together. When you put sugar in tea, what does it become? Sweet tea. And you can't get the sugar out of the tea any more than you can get the water out of the Kool-Aid. They become one. They become the same, and you are mixed with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says that if any man be joined with Christ, there's one spirit with Him. You are one spirit with Him, just like peanut butter and jelly, just like sweet tea, just like Kool-Aid. You are one with Him. There's nothing that can separate you from Him, so don't keep thinking that you're far away from God. You're closer to God now than you ever will be. He lives in you and has reconciled Himself to everybody. Everyone. That's why the gospel is so strong. It says that it's the power of God unto salvation. Why? Why is it the power of God to salvation? Because you don't have to work for anything. All you have to do is accept Jesus as your Lord, and the wall of separation is torn down and God comes and lives on the inside of you. What a message. Amen. He has already reconciled you to Him. It's done. But for so many years, I do not know why, but for so many years, us as a church have acted like it takes people to do an awful lot of work to. He has already reconciled the world to Himself through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Master. All we got to do is tell them how easy it is. It's easier to take your, it's easier to get saved than it is to take your shoes off. It's easier to get saved and enter into salvation with Jesus than it is to brush your teeth. It's that simple. We've made it hard. But I tell you what, not from now on, we're going to take our job as missionaries seriously. And we are going to take this message, but the message of the gospel seriously. And we're going to show people the simplicity of following God. Amen? Amen. So I knew a guy, still do. His name is just one guy. Knew one dude. He's still around. His name is Richard Methven. Amen. Just in case he's watching. He probably isn't, because he's preaching today. Anyway, Richard Methven was the pastor of a church here in town, and I knew him way back a little while ago. For those of you that don't know, I don't do this full time. This is not what I do to make my money. I make my money other places. One of those places where I make my money is banking. So I, like a banker, I count other people's money. So Richard came to see me, and I was at another bank, and he came to see me, and we would talk. And we would always talk to each other about the Lord and that kind of thing, because I was reading my Bible a lot back then. Not to say that I don't read it now, but I mean, back then I was reading it a lot. I mean, I still read it, kind of. You know, playing. Just right before service. What are we going to talk about? Anyway, Richard's in my office, and I'm talking about, I can't wait to be in full-time ministry. I can't wait to be in full-time ministry. Man, I just want to do full-time ministry. I just want to do this, you know. And he's like, really? You think so? I was like, yeah, man, get on a pulpit, you know, Sunday morning, just be able to preach. I just want to do that so bad, you know, be in the full-time ministry. And he goes, well, you are. And I just kind of looked at him. He goes, you're in full-time ministry right now, Greg. He said, your desk right now, where you're at, you're sitting behind a desk. I said, yeah. He said, the desk right now, that's your pulpit. That's your pulpit. He said, now when you go to Walmart and you grab that buggy becomes your pulpit. He said, everywhere you go, that's your pulpit. Your pulpit follows you everywhere he goes. He said, every Christian I know is in full-time ministry. They're just not working. Taking, reaping all the benefits and not doing the job. And so, Richard Bethman set me free on all of this. So from that point and that point on forward, I've spent most of my time, whenever I'm not in here, doing the work of the ministry. At my desk, work of the ministry is happening. At Walmart, Brookshire's, work of the ministry. Why? Because that's what I've been called to. If you would, Charles, take us to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You get, that's good. Just go ahead and shut it down, you think, Stephen? You think that? Anybody hungry? One person, two, three, four. Okay, yeah, we got a few people that are telling the truth in here. Everybody else is like, no, I'm good, I'm good. Where you got me at, Charles? 2 Corinthians chapter 5? No, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for me, Big Daddy. Then we'll get to this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, did I say first or second? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Oh, this is a weird okay, all right, I got it. That's it. It's just some weird translation. That's why I didn't recognize it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new. Thank you. Thank you. That's New King James. When you get to heaven, that's what they're going to talk up there. Just letting you know. Like, you throw me one of those weird ones, man. I'm like, what? What is it saying? You know, all of a sudden, I don't know what that scripture means. But I get it. The other translations bring out some nuggets that we need. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled, what? Us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given to who? Us what? The ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us. Who's that? That's right. The word of reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For what? He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we, everybody say, that's us. We might do what? Become the righteousness of God in him. We have a word for this world, Mr. and Mrs. Missionary, on Mission Month. We have a word for this world, and it starts right outside that door right there. You can get from anywhere in the world right out here, catch Paul. You walk out that door, get anywhere. You go anywhere in the world, and every place that you go, every place that your footstep, anybody ever seen The Lion King? Remember Mufasa sitting up there with Simba and they looking out at the whole kingdom? He goes, you know, everything that the sun touches is the kingdom, right? Y'all remember that? Same thing for you. Everything the sun touches is a place where you can minister. Right there. Everywhere. You walk outside right here, you're going to run into somebody. I tell you what. All right, so this weekend, I was out of town for a couple of days, so I've tried, you know, I want to get a place where there ain't no people. I'm just like that. I just want no people. Okay, I love y'all. Y'all are great. Come over, eat, hang out, all that. But there's this spot that I get to. I just don't want nobody. I just want to be alone for a minute. And so I was at a place out by a lake, and they had this little beach area. I was like, oh, I'm gonna go hang out there because they ain't gonna be, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning. Who gonna be at the beach, you know? So, and it wasn't like a real beach. It was just like, you know, it was kind of like that Kenny Lake beach. And so anyway, I went out there and like, I was like, oh, I walked up and there wasn't nobody there and the sun was just coming. Oh, it was just beautiful. And then next thing you know, here come a golf cart right over there. Okay. And then there's another golf cart come up and two dogs and they all doing the stuff. And then some people come walking up, being all loud, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm trying to chill and have me a Jesus moment and they being all loud, you know. And then a dude pulls up with a boat and he puts it on the ramp, you know, and like, Jesus, I just want to hang out and just have no question. And you know what he said? He said, you can't go anywhere in this world without running into somebody. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's cool, man. He goes, no, you're not paying attention. The mission field is everywhere. Folks, we can't, it's very difficult to get to a place where there ain't no people. But it's real easy to find out and realize that the place that you go to is the mission field, and it has people. They've been reconciled to God. They just may not know it yet. Isn't that something, if you think about it for a minute, that they are already reconciled to God? He reconciled the entire world to himself. We just read that, didn't we? He reconciled the entire world to himself. But yet, people could still go to hell because they don't know. Could you imagine getting to hell and finding out that we didn't do our job? Think about that. Think about that. There are people in this town that will end up in a lake of fire if we don't say something. But when they get there, realize that they were already reconciled to God, just didn't make the path through Jesus because ain't nobody said nothing. Ain't nobody said nothing. You mean to tell me I lived in Minden, Louisiana with 13,000 people living there, the Bible Belt? We got 70-some-odd churches in the phone book in this area, and ain't nobody told me that I could have got out of this place just by accepting one man's actions. I mean, are y'all getting this? I ain't trying to get difficult. I know I need to be fun and all that, but do we see the seriousness of what we've been called to do? This is not a plaything. This that we do right now is where we, the ministers, come to get built up, equipped to go minister for the next 3 or 4 days. And then we come back in on a Wednesday or a Thursday or something like that, get tanked up again and go back and do it again. This ain't church. This is just getting you ready to go do what you need to do. That's what this is. Are y'all with me? Yeah. Now let's go to Acts chapter 9, if you would, Mr. Charles. And we read this last week, so I just want to go to verse 17. This was the story of Paul. Everybody remember Paul the Apostle? Big Paul, not little. This is one Paul, not this Paul, the other one. Thought that was funny, didn't you, T-Bray? Y'all remember Paul? Paul was on the road to Damascus. What happened? Jesus come up. Boom! Busted his eyes. He got, oh, I can't see. Fell off his horse. You know, Paul, why are you doing this? Why you kick against the pricks? Everybody remembers that one, right? Well, this is after all that happens. He's blind. The Holy Ghost tells a guy by the name of Ananias to go down to Straight Street down there in Joppa and lay his hands on a dude by the name of Paul, because that dude, Paul, is praying that he could get his sight back. And this is the ending of what's going on in there whenever Ananias comes in there. And Ananias went in and entered into the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, he sent me that you may receive your sight and what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now let's go to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to show y'all something. Now you do remember and do realize that right after this, Paul spent about 16 years kind of meandering around. And then from that point, he did like 3 missionary journeys, we call it in the whole, you know, church education world. He got all these missionary journeys that he did. He wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. Y'all do realize that? Okay, all right. Ananias went to see him before, said, "Receive your sight and be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit." After that point, boom, Paul got ignorant. Look here. Can you back up to verse 1 for me? In Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Do you mind? Man, I'm working Charles overtime, y'all. Hang with us. Everybody good? You know, I bet Michael Staniland could find some Jeopardy music and we could play that and make it even worse for Charles right now. Charles is the man. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Y'all want me to tell you what it says? Okay. Is it up there? All right, cool. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So this is after Jesus was taken up, right? This is during that time. Jesus is about to finna go. To whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So this is right in the spot where he's about to ascend into heaven. Jesus is finishing up his earthly ministry. He's already hung on the cross. He's already been raised from the dead. He's already said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Those that believe, be baptized. Those that won't, I don't know what you're going to do with them. I mean, they just, all of this is happening. And this is the last little bit before he cuts out of here. Watch this. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They're still trying to make him king. They think he was going to put a crown on. Not when we're going to preach to him today. But verse 7, you're right. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times of the season that the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Just like Paul, before Ananias, whenever Ananias went to see Paul, before Paul could fulfill his earthly ministry, he had to have an experience with the Holy Spirit. He had that. Once that happened, once that experience happened, he was able to minister better than ever before. He was able to before. Jesus is with the disciples, and the disciples are like, bye, Jesus. See you later. You got any words? You got anything you want to say? Yeah, I got something I want to say. Before you can even leave, don't even leave this town until you receive the promise of the Father, because you will be my witnesses. You're going to go into the uttermost parts of the earth, and you got to have this to get it done. Just like Paul. Are y'all smelling what I'm stepping in? Let's go to Acts chapter 10, Mr. Charles. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Everybody good? What's this one? Peter is preaching a message this time. If you opened your Bible to Acts chapter 10, you started reading, Peter gets into a message. This is in the gut of his message, okay? Peter makes this statement right here that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the man, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. One of the final things that Jesus said to us, and this is one of the, this man's right here, favorite scriptures that you could say, is that the works that you see me do, you will do also, and greater works than these will you do, because I'm going to go to my Father. What were you saying, Jesus? He was saying that you will be filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and you'll go out and do good. You will, just like he did. You can be just like the master. Now, none of us could ever exceed the master, but you can be just like the master. Making sense? Y'all looking at me funny. I thought it was missions month. I just came for y'all to take up an offering. Let's go to one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 there. Charles, I gave you that one early. This is Paul talking about his ministry and what he does. He says, For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to who? That I might what? Win the more. You know, if you think about Walmart, Walmart's a terrible place. Takes all our money, takes all our joy. You know, you go up in there and people be ugly for no reason. They don't even know who I am. Why are you talking to me like that? Yeah, we're not old enough for noise counseling, you know. I mean, they just get all ignorant up in there, say any kind of thing. I mean, I've heard every cuss word you can hear up in that Walmart loud. Just like, wow, I can't believe they actually said that. Man, mama's mad today, y'all. It's a tough place. And it makes you kind of not want to do the whole ministry of reconciliation thing. It makes you kind of not really give two cents about what they're going to do in the next 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Or is it just me? I guess that's just y'all all holy and righteous. Excuse me. Y'all holy, ain't you? No, Greg. We love everybody with the love of Jesus everywhere we go. Of course we do. We just lay hands on everyone and they're all miraculously healed, just right in the line. Because I am living such a great life. That was me pretending to be the boys in the house, not the ladies. So, but seriously, are y'all with me? It's just kind of like you just want to thump them in the head, you know? Or driving on Homer Road at 3:30 in the afternoon. Anybody ever done that? I mean, I really want one of those signs that you put up that has a hand gesture. You know, they just pump the button, let the hand gesture come out. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all seen those digital signs? You flip it through Instagram and there's a little digital sign you can buy and it gives a hand gesture. You know what I'm talking about? And the hand gesture, by the way, is this. Yeah. With one finger. I don't know if it's a thumb, but. Yeah, you're number one. You're number one. Are y'all, seriously, you know what I mean? You could get in that place to where you just really don't feel like it. You just really don't feel like it. You don't want to put up with it no more. At that point, we have got to find a way to push on through because this is an eternal thing, not a temporary thing. Because the stuff that we see is temporary and we experience, we know about, temporary. But the things that we don't see, they're what? Eternal. So anyway, let's go to this one right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul. For though I am free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. You see the heart behind this. Even though they acting ignorant, I really want to slap them. Because, I mean, if you think about it, Paul was put in jail. He was beat. He was stoned. He went through an awful lot of suffering for the gospel's sake. And we, for some reason, think that we have to burn ourselves as the suffering for the gospel's sake, or that it's got to be stoning, or that it's all this. No. You go to Walmart and suffer and push through that thing for the gospel's sake, that I might win the more. And to the Jews, look at this, verse 20. He said, and to the Jews, what did he become? He became as a Jew that I might win who? The Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win who? Those that are under the law. Verse 21. Look at this. And to those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without the law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are what? Without the law. Verse 22. To the weak, he became what? That he might win the what? And I become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Sometimes we just got to be like water and fit in the place that we're in. Folk acting ignorant and being all crazy and dumb. All we got to do is be there, be weak for the weak. They're exposing their weakness. They're not strong, they're weak. That's why they're acting ignorant. And we become weak for the weak, so that we may what? Win the weak. When we're at the house, when we're at the family gathering, when we are at our family reunion, we become like the family reunion so that we may win the more. It's all of this, everything we do, everything we learn, everything we experience with God, all this up here crying and all this that we do, everything that we do up in here and the singing the songs and the praising, and all of that is so that we may win the more. There's a world that needs you. Y'all remember Uncle Sam? I want you. You signed up. If Jesus is the Lord of your life and heaven is your home, guess what? You got a responsibility and a job, and it starts as soon as I tell you to go to. Well, I'm going to say here in a minute, we are dismissed. At that point, boom, it's go time. It's go time. It's time to roll. Why? Because there are people that are dying every couple of seconds right now. And if we don't do the missionary work, then who will? I remember Romans chapter 10. It says, how can they believe if they don't hear? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is it that somebody, unless they are sent to go tell? You have been sent and given the ministry of reconciliation. You have to step out and roll. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the filling of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, to make yourself turn into the weak when you need to be weak, to make yourself to be the lawless whenever you need to do whatever you have to do to be able to convert yourself to change yourself, to make yourself be in a situation to where the door will open up to where you can minister to someone. It takes His power to be a witness to the ends of the earth. We're going to go to the ends of the earth. Sure. We're going to go to Walmart. We're going to do it. We're going to go to Brookshire's. We're going to do it. We're going to go wherever we go. You have got to have the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, or you can't get there. It's real, real, real difficult to be one thing to people when you don't, when it's just, I'm going home. But that power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Joel was up here a few minutes ago, and he mentioned something about the nine gifts of the Spirit. All nine of those gifts of the Spirit, we do them in here all the time. It's out there what they were made for. It's out there for those of us that are filled with the Spirit. Yes, and I am talking about those of us that are filled with the Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. Those of us that have that experience, it is out there that those gifts are supposed to be happening. It is out there that that power has been made for. It is out there where the evidence of what it is that we believe and what it is that we say should be seen. There should be, because of us that have been called to the ministry of reconciliation, there should be more moves of God in Walmart than in here. It's time to help the world see how easy this really is. Our salvation is so simple. The saving of our souls is so simple. The saving of our spirits is so simple. That going to heaven and getting to heaven is very, very, very simple. It's not difficult. The difficulty is stepping into that ministry that He's called us into and being a true missionary for Mission Month. Are y'all with me? Let's all stand. All right, I got about six more scriptures. But, you know, Zoe was over here tapping on her watch like, come on, Dad, we got to go. I know you didn't do that. I'm messing, baby. It's a serious deal, y'all. This is a serious thing that I'm talking about. I like to joke and have a good time and cut up. There ain't nobody want to cut up more than I do. But whenever it comes to the ministry of reconciliation and the job that we have been called to do, it's not a laughing matter. It's a serious deal. And it's as simple as a smile on the street. It's as simple as a phone call to a friend we ain't talked to in 100 years. It's as simple as saying hi. Especially for those of us that are filled with the Spirit. You filled with the Holy Ghost, He will open up doors for you simply because you looked somebody in the eye and said, hello, how are you today? He will open a door. because he knows that we are willing to step through it and do what's necessary. And I'm not looking to be, I ain't trying to dog on nobody, and I ain't saying, you know, I ain't trying to say, you know, I mean, I got stuff to work. We all got stuff to work on. But we have been called to a very serious ministry, and we are on a mission. Amen. Amen. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we know that as we do your word, we will be blessed in the doing of it. Anybody in here, you've never accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life. If you haven't, raise your hand. We'll pray with you. Jesus, become your Lord. You'll step over into that reconciliation that's there for you. Heaven becomes your home. You'll get born again. Jesus will become a part of your daily life. Anybody like that in here? All right, cool. So we're all brothers and sisters called to the ministry of reconciliation, Lord, and we will continue to step out and do as you have called us to do and walk in your blessings and have many, many, many signs and wonders and people to get saved and brought into the kingdom simply because we're willing to step out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all have a good day.